ask you to do a couple of things as we begin. In order not to disrupt anyone else, could you please ensure that your phone is switched off on silent so it's not a disruption to anyone else's experience? If you need the bathrooms are to your right over here. But if you do need to use the bathrooms, can I just ask that you ensure that the doors are shut as you go? But we really want to make this a space of quiet and reflection tonight. The service of shadows has been practiced by the church since medieval times. Once a service for the monastic community, the service of shadows later became an important part of the worship of the common folk during Holy Week. We join Christians of many generations throughout the world in using the liturgy of the service of shadows. The service of shadows is a prolonged meditation on Christ's suffering. Our readings trace the story of Christ's passion. Conclusion of the readings, these candles are extinguished. This serves to help us ponder the depth of suffering and death. After the service, it's traditional for the attenders to leave the church in silence and in darkness and to return home. And we'd like to invite you on Easter Sunday morning to come and celebrate with us at 9:30 for a service to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Celebrating the joy of his resurrection and his new life. But tonight we are contemplating our Lord's suffering. So would you pray with me? Most gracious God, look with mercy upon your children gathered here for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, given into sinful hands, and suffered death upon the cross. Strengthen our faith and forgive our betrayals through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. It was a time for shadows. Before the glorious light of resurrection morning, there were dark nights and even darker days. On our way toward rejoicing in the resurrection, we enter that shadow land, those days of darkness, the darkness that stretched from the upper room to the arrest, from trial to trial, from the mocking to the scourging, and to the death of Jesus Christ.
On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Before going to the cross, Jesus shared the Passover meal with his apostles, with his disciples. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover. He is the Lamb of God, sacrificed to set us free from the bondage of sin. The blood of Jesus covers and protects us, and his body was broken to free us from eternal death. This broken bread represents Jesus' body that was broken for you on the cross. The cup represents Jesus' blood that was spilled for you on the cross. If you trust in Jesus' death for your salvation, I invite you to come and take and eat, remembering his sacrifice for you. The servers will come forward. I'd like to invite you to come down the centre aisles and then take the bread and the juice and return to your seat around the outside, and you can eat and drink, remembering him. So if the servers would like to come forward. Please come and eat and drink. Thank you.
On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. The many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss.
"What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Speed.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. I'm going to pray a prayer in response to all that we've heard tonight. And if you'd like to put your faith in Jesus, if you'd like to receive what he's done for us, your forgiveness, freedom, new life with him, if you'd like to put your life in his hands, you can join with me in prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, once again, we are humbled to think about all that you have done for us. It was not for your sin that you died. It was for our sin. All the things that we have done, the things that we've thought, the things that we've said that are an offence. It was not for your sin you died, it was for ours. And you did this because of your great love to reconcile and redeem a people for yourself. You came to save us. You came to rescue us. You died in our place that we might be free. Jesus, we want you to be our Saviour. We want you to be our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May God keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Go in peace.